You may remember hearing last summer about the 12 youth soccer players and their coach who got lost in a cave system in Thailand. It was on the news for a long time. They entered into the cave for a fun adventure, just thought they would go explore on June 23rd last summer. And then while they were in the cave, heavy rains hit and flash floods, and the cave system became flooded, which pushed them farther back into the cave system, and eventually they found a place where they could get out of the water, 2.5 miles from the cave entrance and 0.5 mile underground. It seemed impossible that they would survive. When people realized they were missing, authorities put out the word as to what had happened, and they said initially they would have to wait until that flooding in the cave ended, which meant waiting for the end of the rainy season, weeks and weeks before they could search the cave and find the 13 people who were trapped. Without food, with limited oxygen, there was virtually no hope. So the world held their breath, as you remember, for about a week, no word from the group. And then on July 2nd, two British cave divers found the soccer team alive and well in this little pocket of air deep down in the cave. But still, with the cave badly flooded, it seemed impossible to rescue them. The media told us it would take a miracle. In fact, it took the efforts of 10,000 people working together. 100 experienced cave divers, 3,000 police officers and soldiers, over 100 government agencies from across the globe working together on this rescue effort. One Thai Navy SEAL lost his life bringing oxygen tanks into the cave. But then, nearly 3 weeks after they entered into the cave, all 12 boys and their coach were brought to the surface, alive and well. And again, the media told us it was a miracle. That helped to sell the story, of course. It also brought more drama to what was already a very dramatic situation. And maybe it was a miracle. Maybe it was divine intervention to help the divers as they swam through those pitch black waters, bringing oxygen in. Maybe it was a miracle to keep the soccer team alive for that long in this small pocket there deep down under the earth. Then again, maybe it was just great teamwork, careful planning, the elite skills of the world's best divers all working together to accomplish this important thing. Because, of course, people can accomplish amazing things. And we love to celebrate great human achievements. It's inspiring. It sort of brings us a sense of pride as people. It binds us together as human beings that we can accomplish these amazing things. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a miracle. Miracle is a big word. A miracle is something supernatural. A miracle is something that only God can do. A miracle is when God breaks into the ordinary flow of the world, bending the laws of physics, altering the flow of time, breaking into the natural order of things in the world that God Himself created, and doing something that people cannot do on our own. That is a miracle. This morning we gather to celebrate a true miracle. This morning we gather to celebrate the greatest and most important miracle that has ever happened and ever will happen in the whole history of the world that God created. We know the beginning of the story. Jesus died on the cross. Jesus was killed by Roman execution. And then his body was taken off the cross and buried in a cave. Large stone was rolled over the entrance of that tomb. And from Friday afternoon until early Sunday morning, it was impossible for Jesus to be alive, because he was dead. Early that Sunday morning, three women went to the tomb. They were all followers of Jesus. They trusted in Him. They hoped that He would be the Savior. And they went there that morning to care for His dead body, which was the custom of that culture. When they arrived, they found the tomb was empty. Because you see, in God's power and according to God's perfect plan, Jesus rose from the dead and He walked out of the tomb, and it was a miracle that was done, performed by God's mighty power. And there is no other explanation for how the tomb could be empty other than that God raised Jesus to new life. It was a miracle. Of course, there are no cameras there to record it, and so I know for some people today, if there's no video evidence, then it didn't really happen, I guess. But the media wasn't also there to deliver the headline. You know, you can imagine what it would have been, dead man seen walking in Jerusalem. That didn't happen. Jesus didn't hold a press conference later that day. This was 2,000 years ago. But His resurrection was a miracle. On the other hand, though, that does not mean that everyone believes that it actually happened. Not everyone believes. Just a few years after Jesus' resurrection, the Apostle Paul, who was a leader in the early church, planted churches from Jerusalem all the way to Rome. Paul wrote a letter to one of those early churches that he had a hand in starting and planting. And he addressed many aspects of faith, including this all-important question. Did Jesus really rise from the dead? And I introduced the passage I'm about to read in that way to say to you that there were people even way, way back then. Paul wrote his letter maybe 25 years after Jesus was crucified and rose again. There were already people back then saying, no, maybe it didn't really happen. Even while there were eyewitnesses still living at the time, but there were people even in the early church asking the question, do we really believe this? Did Jesus really rise again? And so Paul wanted to address that issue in their hearts, and that what he wrote continues to speak to us today. And how you answer that question makes all the difference. It shapes who you are. It shapes how you're going to live your life. It determines what matters most in your heart. And most importantly, it sets the course of your life not only here today, but for all eternity. So listen to what Paul wrote. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. And so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. Now there's more to the passage that we'll get to in a minute, but let's begin right there with really this central issue of doubt that Paul raises. And that is, it's hard to believe in the resurrection. It's hard to believe that someone came back to life after being killed. It was hard to believe way back in the first century, and it's hard to believe today. And the truth is, there are a lot of people who don't believe it. I don't know about you, I've never seen someone rise from the dead. Sounds impossible. Sounds made up. This is exactly where a lot of people walk away from Jesus and from the church. Because you see, if you don't believe in miracles, real miracles, if you don't believe in resurrection, if you don't believe in the power of God active in the world today, then following Jesus doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There's not much reason to follow someone who's been dead for 2,000 years. Recent public survey, I know some of you have seen this because I've heard you talking about it, and little did you know I was going to mention it this morning, but a recent public survey found that there are now more nuns than evangelicals in the United States. Nuns are people who have no faith. So they ask the survey question, what is your faith? Are you Christian? Are you Catholic? Are you evangelical? Are you Buddhist? Are you Jewish? Down at the bottom of the list is none of the above. Right? There are now more nuns in the United States than there are evangelicals. There are more nuns in the United States than there are Catholics. Nuns are now the single largest religious group in the country for the first time in American history. 23% of Americans proudly profess their faith to be none. Lots of people have trouble believing in Jesus. And I think at the very heart of that is the resurrection. It's easy to believe that Jesus was a real person. I know there are a lot of TV shows on this time of year, the History Channel, Discovery Channel, you know, searching for the historical Jesus. That's easy to believe. Billions and billions of people have lived. It's not hard to believe that there was a man who lived 2,000 years ago who traveled through Israel and taught and gathered followers. Lots of historical figures have done that. It doesn't take much faith to believe that Jesus existed. It doesn't even take much faith to believe that Jesus died. The Romans executed lots of people. They used crosses many times. It's not hard to believe that a man named Jesus was executed by the Romans on a cross. That does not really take much faith. But when we start talking about the resurrection, that Jesus who died on the cross rose again to new life, that's when faith gets hard. That's also when what we believe really matters. Because as Paul says, if Jesus didn't rise, then our faith and our hope are pointless. They're meaningless. He says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. In other words, if Christ has not been raised, I shouldn't be standing up here right now. He also says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. In other words, what we believe, the centerpiece of Christian faith, that Jesus died to pay for our sins so that we could have a relationship with God and spend all eternity with Him. If Jesus didn't rise again after dying on the cross, then His death was meaningless and we've not been forgiven. Why would we do all this for a dead man? Why would we pray in His name? Why would we worship Him? Why would we gather here week after week? Why would we call ourselves by His name? We are Christians. We are Jesus followers. If Jesus didn't rise, then we're fools. We're wasting our time. Even worse than that, His death was pointless. Because again, the Romans executed lots of people. I imagine they executed quite a few people for treason and blasphemy, which in essence is why they agreed to execute Jesus. If Jesus didn't rise, He's no different than all those other people who have been forgotten by history. Then again, if Jesus didn't rise, we need to wonder, how do we explain the martyrs of the early church? Especially those men and women who were eyewitnesses to Jesus, who knew Him, and who claimed to have seen him after the resurrection. And then when they were pushed to the ultimate test of their faith, will you renounce Jesus or die? They chose to die. How do you explain that? If Jesus didn't rise, if it was just some made-up conspiracy, why would they die? How do we explain the fact that the church has been growing and spreading across the world despite persecution and hardship? And I mentioned in the prayer earlier, if you haven't seen the news, churches were bombed in Sri Lanka, Christian churches attacked during their Easter services just today. The persecution of the church has been going on for 2,000 years. And yet the church continues to grow and spread, generation after generation, of people who believe in the resurrection, who believe in Jesus Christ, and their lives are changed by that belief. If Jesus didn't rise, how do we explain our own experience of faith? That we feel the presence of God deep down in our souls, that we hear God whispering to us through His Word, that we witness how prayers that are offered in Jesus' name are answered by God's power. How do we explain those things if Jesus didn't rise? Let me read a few more verses now at verse 20. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam, all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. We are here today to say that we believe those words. We believe that story. It's not blind faith. It's not wishful thinking. It's not some sort of religious opinion that has been forced on us or that we've been tricked into falling for and repeating. No, we believe that Jesus rose from the dead because we have the experience in our own lives of knowing Him and of loving Him. We have placed our faith and our hope in His name, and we have found that His name is in fact powerful and in fact life-giving. We have found that. Our belief in Jesus' resurrection matters, and it matters both in this life and it also matters for all eternity. Paul writes here, in Adam, and he's talking about Adam and Eve, way back in the garden, he says, in Adam, all humanity died. That is, when Adam sinned in the garden, our relationship with God was broken, and now all of us live with that brokenness and that sinfulness, and the wages of sin is death, and so spiritually, it is though we are in our sin cut off from God and therefore dead. In Adam, in our sin, we all die. But all who come to Jesus live again. And that is the great hope of our faith. Jesus rose from the dead. And so will we. So will we. Jesus broke the cords of death. He walked out of the tomb. Jesus defeated the grave. By His death, our sins are forgiven, and by His resurrection, we are given the hope of everlasting life through His name. We too will rise. Jesus Himself said this. It isn't just that the church made this up after His crucifixion. No, Jesus, during His time on earth, said this very thing. He made this promise back in John chapter 11. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asked that question. Do you believe this? It's the question of Easter. we're here on Easter morning celebrating, and we need to answer that question. Do we believe in the resurrection? Do we believe that because Jesus rose, we will rise too? Do we believe that? It's the question of life. It's the question of faith. Do you believe that Jesus rose and that you will rise too? Several years ago, in fact, just before we moved here to Rockford, a friend of mine named Mark passed away. Mark came to know Jesus in his mid-40s, and shortly after that, he was diagnosed with cancer. It was about a 2-year battle until they moved a hospital bed into his living room and hospice nurses came to make him comfortable. And Mark's wife called me and said that he wanted to talk to me. So I went over to their house, and Mark was there in the hospital bed and barely able to communicate and really out of it. But he was able to say to me that he needed to confess a sin. There had been this secret burden that he had been carrying, and he needed to deal with that hard business. And so we prayed together, and then he told me that he was ready to die, that he was ready to go home and be with Jesus. He was now at peace with his family, and he was at peace knowing that because Jesus rose, he would rise too. And so Mark died just a few days after Easter, 6 years ago, and he died believing in the resurrection. Jesus asked this question of faith: do you believe this? That question is aimed at your heart today. You can have the hope of eternal life through faith in Jesus. All it takes is to believe. It might be hard to believe, but that is all it takes, is to believe that Jesus died and rose again for you. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, it might feel to you like a leap of faith to believe that. I think for other people, they think about it more like just a tiny little step across an invisible line. To be able to finally say deep in your heart, yes, Jesus, I believe that you are my risen Savior. If you're ready to take that step today, I want to invite you to join me in a simple prayer. I'll say the prayer. You don't have to say anything, but you can let it echo in your heart. This is a prayer that I think every follower of Jesus, many of you here in this room this morning, can echo in your hearts. And it might be that for some of you, you're ready right now for the very first time to say, yeah, I really do believe that Jesus rose again and that he is my Savior. So let me invite you to bow your heads and we'll pray together. Gracious Father, we give you thanks today. I thank you that you love us so much that you sent Jesus into the world. I thank you that you love us so much that Jesus went to the cross, not because he had to, but because he chose to suffer and die to take away my sin and the sins of all those who would come to him. I thank you for that great act of mercy and sacrifice and grace on my behalf. And Lord, I'm sorry for the sins that I've committed. I'm sorry for the way I hurt the people around me. I'm sorry for the way I hurt you, Lord, when I do the wrong thing instead of the right thing, when I fail to do the right thing and watch others who may be suffering or hurting. I'm sorry for the sins I've committed. And so, Lord, please forgive me. Please send your Spirit into my heart to make me new and to give me that great hope of everlasting life. And Lord, I pray for all those who are here this morning, those who have been walking with You for years and years, and those who are just now ready to take that little step across the line to say, yes, I believe that Jesus rose again. Lord, I pray that You would help them to feel Your presence in their heart today, to walk with You, and to have that hope, that great hope that can never be taken away. That hope that tells us without any doubt that we will be with You forever and ever. Lord, we thank You for Your love, and I thank You that You hear our prayers. And we thank You for Jesus, who is our risen Savior. We pray these things in His name. Amen.